Welcome back to the Tavern of the Ticket Warriors podcast. I'm Roy Gim, the tavern owner, and we're going to talk to the new tavern owner, Jin-Suk Yang, and as well as tavern contributors, Jay Chi and Tim Lee. Everybody, I love you guys. We're ending 2016 with a bang, and trying to forecast 2017. We must first review all the crazy things that happened in 2016, including when we talked about already the Olympics and there's just the tragedy of exiting at the quarterfinal stage against Honduras. It just didn't seem likely. Sun Heung-min, the last image we saw was him just on the floor, on the pitch, just inconsolable. It was just heartbreaking to see that. And there was this sense that we didn't know what his career, how his career is going to turn out. There was a lot of uncertainty because his first season with the Spurs, Tottenham, in North London, was a little mixed. Was everybody surprised at just how fired up he was when he when he came back to the Premier League?
Totally.
I didn't see it coming. I don't think anyone did.
Yeah. I mean, if people remember, there were even transfer rumors swirling around as well, but a possible return to Leverkusen or
Wolfsburg.
Wolfsburg. Sorry, Wolfsburg.
No. All good. I'm just in surprise that name even came up as a possibility.
And then I actually thought he was going to accept it. I thought he was going to go.
Pochettino wanted him.
Yeah, it seemed at least in my mind that probable that he was going to go to Wolfsburg, but then he decided to stay. And no one could really foreseen the incredible tear that he went on. Absolutely unstoppable. He won the EPL Monthly Award. First time Asian-based player has ever done that.
That's right.
And although, you know, he's sort of in classic Sun style, kind of went quiet for a few games after his hot streak, he's still starting consistently and being a really important force in Tottenham's, where they're fourth place position right now, and so it's really exciting to see.
You know, the difference, I see some things here, like when you've mentioned that Sun Heung-min won the Premier League Player of the Month in September, that's an important distinction because Park Ji-sung did not win the Premier League Player of the Month. There's an important distinction because it seems like Sun was such an instrumental part, not just a role player, but really a key player for the Spurs in staying in the top five, fourth in the Premier League table.
Oh, definitely. I actually had this debate with my friend the other day, actually, because my friend was saying, oh, yeah, like Park Ji-sung was like great, but he was never top dog in the EPL. He was consistently good for an extended period of time. Son will probably never be good for an extended period of time. But now the difference here is that Son has, for at least a month, was one of the best players in the Premier League. And according to Who Scored the World. So that's like, I think that's the big difference. Now, I just really want to add that Son went from absolute crap of like in form, right? He was awful in July. And then in August, he just suddenly became good. Like, what explains that? I don't get it.
Was he mad? Or just was like, he just said, I don't have military exemption. I have nothing to lose. I'm just going to go all out. And suddenly he was just, you know, either mad or just on fire. He just suddenly just turned into beast mode.
I'm wondering if it's more like, not necessarily a mental kind of thing, although that's really important. But I'm wondering if it's more just at Tottenham, it seemed that Tottenham allowed him to play where he excels, which is that really offensive dribbling kind of role, and less tracking back and defending. It felt like maybe what I'm trying to get at is maybe with the Olympic team, he felt much more pressure and he was obliged to participate in more phases of the game. Whereas here in Tottenham, he's just allowed to play. He doesn't have to put in as many tackles. And even statistically, we see this, how last season he was putting in more interceptions and tackles, and this season he isn't doing any of that. But the other side to that is that he's more successful with take-ons, he's got far more dangerous shots, and so maybe it's just Spurs who are letting him play.
Definitely. Yeah. I definitely agree with that, because like so for so long in the Olympics, we saw some players almost as like a left back. He was tracking back all the time.
Yeah.
Now with Tottenham, that explains a part of it. I still don't know how to explain how he suddenly became way better at, I don't know, like decision making.
Oh, that's just Son.
Yeah, somehow that happens.
It's bipolar. I don't know.
He's bipolar.
that is the thing. I'm still wondering. Will we see, you know, a slowdown? But no, you know, it seems like he's been a little more consistent this season, even with the slowdown that happened, probably more due to injury. Before we got to December, and then his form picked up again in December.
Yeah.
But moving on, we don't want to just talk about Son. There was also Hwang Hee-chan and Ji Dong-won. Both of those guys have really impressed in Europe this year. Hwang for Red Bull Salzburg suddenly in this, probably a 3-4 week span of time was unstoppable, scoring for Red Bull Salzburg. And recorded some, I believe, a double in a Europa League match.
Mm.
Ji Dong-won scored a brilliant goal for Augsburg last game of the season.
Scored a couple of brilliant goals.
Ji
Dong-won, I think, is the big surprise.
Clutch goals as well. Yeah.
See, Ji Dong-won is one of those guys who you know is there, but really doesn't really do anything. And then all of a sudden, he just started becoming one of the star players for Augsburg. I think Schuster really brought out the best in Ji Dong-won. Putting him as the lone striker, I think that's a fantastic move. He's not very good on the wings, I don't think. I wasn't going to say anything good.
No, I was going to say, when you think of it, even June, we wouldn't have tipped Ji Dong-won to be the striker or one of the more important offensive players for Korea. In terms of the national team, but his good form with Augsburg has put him back on top of the list, and so it's a really great surprise to see him pick up his form, score his first Bundesliga goal in a million years, and clutch goals as well against Bayern, and great finishes as well, and so it's great to see Ji Dong-won performing. It's also great to see Ko Jae-chul getting those consistent minutes.
He's still being consistent, yeah.
He was probably the best KPA of the 2015-16 part of the year, the first half of the year. And that's a lot of that is just due to the fact that he's starting. They're starting games. They're not getting injured. They're getting consistent minutes and putting in decent performances. And if they have an off week, well, the next week they're not as bad as they were before. And so I think this is great when KPAs can...
Absolutely.
Can really get those consistent minutes, and more KPAs should aspire to that.
It's all about that FC Korea bird. That's where everyone
is. Of course.
But now,
I mean, let's just talk about the incredible opportunities that Augsburg has given to Chiku and Hong Jung-ho.
They're so patient. I don't believe it.
Yeah.
They're so patient with the Korean players. They want to leave, they come back, and they let them play again. I think Hong Jung-ho, though, is the biggest tragedy, considering how well he was
playing
for Augsburg. Can we talk about that?
Go for it.
Yeah, I mean, it's up to anyone. I'm just saying. So for the first time ever, we had a CB in Europe, and he was doing very well. Augsburg wanted to keep him, but then this kid decides he wants to go to China.
You wonder if it's any coincidence that after his move, I mean, and it's probably unfair to say it's because he moved to China, but one has to wonder, his form and his confidence did suffer. He didn't play very well for the KNT, his appearances thereafter.
I think it's because he went to China.
It could very well be. You know, The Guardian has talked about high-profile players like Oscar for Chelsea, moving for a bajillion bucks, and they're saying, you know, at age 25, his form is undoubtedly going to suffer, and it's too bad. You know, China, for better or worse, is you know, has the money to purchase these players, but the league is still abysmal, and I worry about the Koreans who are also sucked into this, and the effect it has overall with the national program.
Well, two things here. Firstly, obviously, when you're playing against when you're not consistently playing against opposition that challenges you, like an Augsburg, but rather against one or two star players
and Chinese players.
Then the in the CSL with the Chinese players, obviously your form is going to suffer because you're not consistently playing against difficult players, and there's a reduction in the quality of football that you're up against, especially as a defender. Your job becomes, simpler. That's right. Secondly, it's disappointing because Hong Chung-ho didn't need to do this now. I honestly feel like if he's 30 years old and still getting and still in shape, then he can definitely go play in China and still make a bajillion dollars because of the Kim Yong-guan effect. Everyone saw how the Chinese club loved him at Guangzhou Evergrande, and they started buying all these Korean center backs. Now we have Im Jong-un, who actually was offered a deal for 6 months, albeit, but by Guangzhou Evergrande, and Im Jong-un's terrible. And so, as a Korean center back, it felt like he could have just purchased a ticket to go to China anytime and be paid handsomely to play against easier opposition. At this point in his career, this was a backwards move quality-wise, but a safe move financially. So you can't blame him from the financial aspect, but you can say you didn't need to do that now. You could have waited. And so there's the frustration there as well. But an individual move that actually, I think, in the long term, is going to damage the KNC.
This almost perfectly segues into, possibly moving into the domestic end of Korean football. But I'm going to hold off just for a moment, because there were some, some troubling signs for some KPAs in Europe. Ki Sung Young is part of a very troubled Swansea squad. Swansea used to be, held in high regard for good structure, buying players very smartly, and punching above their weight. It's not so anymore. Bob Bradley, the American coach experiment, has ended. They're in disarray, and they're at the bottom of the table. Ki Sang-young, though, earlier today, this being New Year's Eve, came back for Swansea after a long period recovering from toe injury, played 90 minutes, but they still lost, I believe, to Middlesbrough. 3-0.
Against Bournemouth, of all clubs.
Oh, Bournemouth, that's right.
Key picked up a yellow card after 30 seconds. So I don't know. I didn't watch the game, but I don't know what that says about his form. But
I don't think he cares.
It's not a great way to start off your return from injury. I know that Twitter isn't obviously the Wikipedia of research. There's some truth in it, but it's mostly a lot of sensational BS. But a sensationalist BS, but when Key was named in the starting lineup, and instantly the reaction of Swansea supporters on Twitter was, why Key? And I know, again, Twitter fans, but like it sucks because a couple years ago, he was one of their most consistent players. That's like, it's the kind of consistency, that kind of golden standard of consistency that we wanted Son to aspire to, and wanted other KPAs to aspire to. And now it's just, he's not either not getting the starting minutes, or when he's playing, he's not putting in the performances that he used to. I think he needs to transfer.
He wants to move, and to be honest, I wouldn't be surprised if he went to China too.
He did say that he would never play for a Chinese club so as long as he was captain of the Korean national team, which was an interesting statement, to say the least. But
didn't he say he was going to retire soon anyway?
Yeah.
Well, from the national World Cup. He wants to retire early.
National team, yeah. From the national team. Yeah.
Anyway, so
it's interesting. We'll keep tabs on this, but I'm hoping that coming back from toe injury, we're going to see something a little more positive with Key's trajectory. Moving on. Go ahead.
No, you mentioned keeping tabs, right? I think we should also keep tabs on Kim Jin-soo and Park Ju-ho, the two Korean left backs who have faded from Hoffenheim and Dortmund scenes, respectively. And their existence is, as Jinsek mentioned, questionable at times. also two players to keep tabs on. Hopefully they also get moves, low moves or whatever, that at least give them starting minutes.
Would you agree with this? Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Jay.
Do you all support the idea of Kim Jin-soo going to Jeonbuk, as the rumors are suggesting Jeonbuk is very interested?
I wouldn't mind it at this point. He's not going anywhere.
Yeah. I understand the kind of the irony and the almost the hypocrisy in our statements where we freak out when Han Jung-ho goes to the CSL, but we're fine if Kim Jin-soo goes to the K-League, but we're hypocritical like that.
But Jeonbuk is a different case, though.
Exactly. Yeah,
Jeonbuk's way better.
Also, Kim Jin-soo, like, what is there much more he can accomplish in Europe? There's a question mark about that. Whereas for Hong Jong-ho, there was definitely more he could have accomplished. He had he had a starting place in the lineup. So, I guess if Kim Jin-soo returns, there's mixed feelings from my part, but you can't really blame him.
In a perfect world, I agree. But in a perfect world, I'd love to see if there was some sort of miraculous trade by a coach that was willing to see Kim Jin-soo's potential at another Bundesliga club. I just don't see that happening. But Jeonbuk is not a bad K-League club to transfer to. You know,
well,
there's a lot of talent there. Kimbo come.
Doesn't get much better.
I'm not a Jeonbuk fan, I'm not a Jeonbuk supporter by any means. But Park Ju-ho is a different case. I think he has probably a better case for staying in Germany, and hopefully he can get a good transfer to a good club. He's got enough pedigree to warrant that.
Yeah.
But moving on, that leaves the other Lee two. Chung-yong. I was going to say that two forgotten players, Lee Chung-yong and Seok Hyun-jun. I've been trying to segue into Seok Hyun-jun for a long time, but
yeah,
go for it.
Oh no! It was just I was going to say like. Because we're talking about how good Judongwon was, so I was going to say, like, when one rises, the other falls. And so
Seemingly,
it seems that way. I can't believe... I was hoping he would make a good transition to Porto, but then, you know, it was only given, like, maybe 5 or 6 chances to impress. It wasn't very long. There's been a lot of managerial changes at Porto while he was there. Yeah. So then when he was loaned out,
Korean effect. He got screwed by that.
Yeah, you wonder, because he had so much momentum last year.
Guys, I'm wondering if we should wrap up on the KPAs.
Agreed. Let's quickly say, we hope for the best for Seok Hyun-jun. It's not looking good at the moment on loan to Trabzonspor. Right, but hopefully Sam Allardyce will Big Sam will be able to give the Blue Dragon a chance. So we'll keep tabs on his journeyman career in England. I'd say this is a good time to transition to the wild, crazy domestic scene, the K-League.
Yay.
Jay, I think you might have a great Twitter-like way to sum up what an amazing year it was in the K-League and what they did in the Asian Champions League as well.
Twitter-like?
More characters.
I mean, 2016 was, it was... a good year for the K-League, I think, for Korean clubs, and both as I think it had a little bit of everything that you would want in terms of news and generating buzz.
And drama.
Drama, which is always good for media stuff. Jeonbuk won the ACL, which is, good to say that the K-League is not dead internationally. Seoul won the league with a little help from Jeonbuk's point deduction. And we had Suwon picked up some silver in the end in the KFA Cup. And so you didn't have any true dominance across. You had 3 different winners and some nice stuff happened. There was some good stuff. Stories at the bottom, Sungnam going down.
Wow. Surprising.
Ansan, a little drama in the challenge with Ansan and how the league dealt with their situation. The team moving cities and a new one coming in, and Sangju and Jeju and Gwangju all had kind of surprise, slightly Cinderella-esque stories in the league. So there was a lot of good storylines, and the quality wasn't always great, but it was a fun season.
Okay, can we also mention that Incheon continues their status as the Sunderland of the K-League?
Very apt.
I just wanted to add that.
But I feel like I know this isn't really relevant to the general discussion, but I feel like Incheon's kind of in trouble now because they've Kevin Ariz has left the side.
Kim Sung-ho also left for Jeju.
Well, yeah, but yeah, sure, but they need their football for the last million years has been very target man oriented. You know, you knock it down, route one kind of football. They're gonna have to find a target man striker now, and if they don't. If it's beyond them, then I think this year might be the year where they finally crack and go down. But anyways, next year, sorry.
Incheon, I mean, I don't watch them a whole lot at the youth level, but they're the kind of team that since they're a government-funded team for the most part, that I would really like to see, like when we talked earlier about modifying and adjusting the league, that their youth teams, especially like in their middle school, high school level, seem really to win good. Almost everything these days. So really? They'd be really. They should
That's
like.
So Incheon
is the kind of team that really needs to make a push towards actually investing and bringing up their youth instead of these random old players and foreigners that they've been bringing in.
Do you think that with Gangwon, after being promoted, they surprise everybody because they're starting to spend a lot of money and bringing in quite a lot of talent in for a push for the title. It seems like they're making a title push, which is unbelievable for and audacious for a team that's been promoted. I wonder out loud if that kind of visible waves they're making in the transfer news will spur other clubs to really spur up their investments and really get their shit together.
No, I don't think so. I don't think Gangwon's style, what they're doing, isn't sustainable for them.
Yeah.
And there was the news that their naming sponsorship deal with, you know, Gangwon Land has already fallen through. And so, I mean, they'll make one big push, and they're hoping that, you know, by signing bigger name players, and if they have success and qualify for the ACL, that, you know, maybe more will come in. But if they don't, then I think the next year you'll see just a mass sellout and they'll collapse.
Yeah, I don't understand Gangwon. It's not a football market, and their stadium's in the middle of nowhere. And
a ski jump. Right?
Yes, it's a ski jump. Where the away stand is supposed to be, there's a ski jump there, and the tickets are the most expensive in the league. They've actually tiered the tickets based on the opposition, so like Seoul and Suwon and Chungbuk and the big teams are more expensive to go watch than Sangju, for example. But how many Gangwon Hanmonis and Halbajis are going to drive an hour and a half to go watch Gangwon FC at a ski jump? I don't get it. It's not a football market. I hope they do well. I've got a team in the K-League for once. I lived a lot in Gangwon, but it's not a sport market whatsoever, so I don't know what they're doing. I agree with Jay that it's not sustainable, but maybe they'll work wonders and we'll all be proven wrong. But I kind of doubt that.
I mean, it's the ticket thing is ridiculous. Korean fans don't travel to away games anyway. The only three that have any are Jeonbuk, Seoul, and Suwon. And even then, you're talking maybe at most like 100 people. At most. Because like Busan was in Classic, I mean, you would get maybe 20 or 30 away fans from Jeonbuk or Seoul or Suwon. Here in Jeju, you get like 20. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't see, you know, thousands of away fans going to Gangwon and paying, you know, 30, 40, 50,000 won for an away game.
Not to mention that it's not a great location. It's not like they're playing in the Greater Seoul area. They're playing in Gangwon-do. It's isolated from the major clubs, right? What I mean is,
go on. Tim, can you remind, where is the stadium? What city is it in?
It's not in Gangwon. It's in Gangwon, but it's not
it in Gangwon. Yeah, because the big cities, the only quote-unquote big cities in Gangwon-do are out way on the coast. They're Gangneung, Sokcho, and
Chuncheon.
Oh, it's in Pyeongchang.
Yeah, it's in Pyeongchang, yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of, that's really middle of nowhere. It's like
it is middle of nowhere.
Little resort, ski resort kind of area.
I don't understand it. Like, you're gonna maybe you'll put a team in Gangneung or in Chuncheon or what or Sokcho as well, but which is more of a isn't that more of a touristy destination? But
there's a nice mountain range near there.
Yeah, I went there, but Pyeongchang, yeah, I don't. There's no one really lives there, so I'm actually wondering if this has something to do with some weird elaborate or not elaborate publicity stunt for the Olympics. I have no idea.
It has to be. There's no other reason to put it there.
But then I don't understand, because if you follow the Olympics, then you're going to... I don't understand why
this was... It's not in the same season. K-League
fan, well, I don't know why I would incite K-League fans to go to the Olympics. Like, it doesn't, because K-League fans are probably sports people anyways, and I don't see how this would influence them in any way. Like, why would you want to travel to go to the fabled ski rink stadium to go watch some Swedish people win gold medals at ski jumping? There's no link between any of these things, so I don't understand any of it, really.
But there is the ridiculousness factor of watching a football match at a ski resort or a ski jumping stadium. I would, you know, but this is just me, because I'm kind of my weird eccentricities would and curiosities would force myself to be out there and see what the hell's going on.
But
I'm probably a minority.
there's not 25,000 of you, unfortunately, but there aren't 25,000 of you in Korea. So,
but speaking of audiences, Jay, would you say that the attendance, though, you know, of course, is a sore point for the K-League, has stabilized to some degree? You saw some big profile matches that were well attended. Surprising matches that you wouldn't think were well attended had some decent attendance rebounding. Am I correct to say that, or am I completely off base?
I don't think it's improved any. I think maybe you could argue that maybe it kind of bottomed out.
okay.
I mean, like, because like someone up, someone down. Jeonbu went up a bit. Seoul has been relatively consistently high. Suwon dropped. I mean, those are the three that, you know, you're going to talk about in terms of attendance. Everyone else is fairly low, minimal, in the few thousands, 5,000-6,000 people.
Am I interrupting somebody?
No.
Sorry. Okay. As silly or whatever you want to call it, as it sounds, it feels like the only thing that could really boost attendances across the country for the K-League would be if someone has to come back and do military service. But anyways.
Yeah.
I don't think would make a big boost.
You don't think?
No.
Yeah.
We thought a long time ago that Park Chu-young coming back would boost it. And it not really across the board. It's not like, you know, David Beckham effect, where LA Galaxy would play in Kansas and people come out to see David Beckham. That hasn't translated in Korea, per se, I don't think.
Hmm.
Well, the thing is that, this is just my opinion, of course, is that the problem with the attendance is, the problem is simple. The solution is very hard. And that is, K-League games are boring. It's across the board. The teams don't play that exciting, most of them.
Yep.
The atmosphere is very flat, except for, you know, Jeonbuk, Suwon, and Seoul are okay.
Okay.
And that's just the thing. People, Koreans want to go to the game and have fun. It's not for love of the club. It's not usually for love of a player. They want to have fun. And if they don't have fun, then they don't want to go. Because that's the thing. That's like we would say, well, baseball's so boring. You know, it's 3-4 hours. You know, there's so many stops. You know, that the pitcher throws the ball. Maybe he hits it. Yay, so much fun.
They artificially make it.
Right? Yeah, because they have, you know, songs and special cheers for each player. It's very easy to follow. You know, there's dances, cheerleaders. You know, you can get up and go smoke or, you know, just sit with your friends or family and drink and eat chicken. And that's what Koreans want to do. They want, they could do that kind of thing at the K-League games, then they would be more popular. But it's, those kind of things are much harder. And there's this kind of battle between, you know, purists that want to follow like the European route and have, you know, like ultra, quote unquote ultras chanting and,
yeah,
you know, flags and TIFO and choreos. And then there's just the average Korean that just wants to bring their family and eat cup ramen and eat chicken and have fun. And the K-League just
wonder if there's
don't
a,
that.
Sure. I wonder if there's a, some sort of possible, you know, meeting halfway.
Well, between, you kind of you know, see the, it.
Yeah.
Like, okay. In Jeju, at Jeju's World Cup Stadium, like, on the behind, it's a very big flat area. They have picnic tables. It's flat, so kids bring, like, their rollerblades or scooters, and they run around and play. You know, the adults sit at the tables and eat. And so, I mean, that helps. And I know, Tim, you saw it on Twitter. Wilson is doing things similar at the Munsu. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, those are the kind of things the clubs are starting to do. But, I mean, then we start getting to stadium issues and, you know, the size of these World Cup stadiums and that the clubs don't own the stadium, so they can't make major changes without government permission. We don't want to do that because they spend so much money on these very pretty stadiums, and you get onto that long list of stuff that we've gone through many, many times.
Well, that conversation will unfortunately we'll still be talking about years from now. But what I want to do is look at FC Seoul for just a hot minute. I think the wonderful thing about them winning the title, despite, you know, the 9-point deduction for Jeonbuk's 2013-2014 bribery scandal, you know, if we assume that that's behind Jeonbuk now, this is my theory. It's good for the K-League not to have one dominant, Barcelona or when this more important Bayern Munich is probably a more apt association.
Yeah.
Them constantly winning year after year, and you know, this mixes it up a little bit. Maybe that's good for the K-League.
Oh sure, you want the headline story, right? You want the on the sports section in Naver. You don't want to see Jeonbuk wins again for the 35th million time. You want to see, you know some title challenge or some shocking red card, or you want storylines come out of an otherwise pretty flat league. So yeah, it's great to see Seoul compete and go out and get Tehan and purchase Adriano and have him a really fine form. And it was great to see that competitiveness in the K-League this season. It was what was missing from the 2015 season. So there's a good step in the right direction there. And hopefully that will continue next year. If not Gangwon, but you know, other sides as well. So
sure. Go ahead.
I'm curious, and I know I don't want this to take a whole lot of time for discussion, but I'm curious, do you think it would be better for Korea to have a more like Spain situation where you have two teams like Jeonbuk and Seoul that are, you know, clearly better than the rest, but they're also, you know, very competitive in Asia, or a more kind of stereotypical England situation where the league is very competitive with many teams, but they tend to be a notch below in terms of continental ability? Basically, do you want the talent centered at two teams or more dispersed?
I like the dispersed personally. I think it adds a lot more variability, it's more unpredictable, and the more unpredictable, the better in soccer, to me at least.
Yeah, I would second that. And in fact, if we want the ultimate goal is to get the masses asses back into the stadiums, that would help. And I don't, if it means not winning as many Asian Champions Leagues and winning Asia, that is a good bargain, I think.
Yeah. I think I agree with the others on this one. Like, the ACL is cool, but like, if you don't win, who really gives a fuck? Like, you want people to go watch the games. Not dispersed to the extent where it's thinned out and where the quality of each side is dismal and we see 12 Incheons and it's a lottery whoever wins. But I think that a step more in the direction of what we saw this season where talent was a little bit more spread out, the further we go in that direction, the better.
Right on. And last observation is, like, you know, we talked about this at a podcast closer to the beginning of the K-League season, that Jeonbuk had such an amazingly talented squad that they were gearing for, you know, to win Asia, to win it all, the K-League, to win the double or the treble. They didn't do that, but they were still impressive overall. I'm wondering if this is going to continue. I mean, it's looking like that would continue, even though it looks like they're losing Leonardo.
Yeah, well, they've lost.
He signed.
Already.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
But he signed for Al Jazeera, not for Al Ain. So Al Jazeera hijacked the deal.
Okay.
There. So interesting situation in the UAE. But, Timbuktu have lost a few of their players. They've lost. Well, they traded away Lee Jung-ho.
Hopefully, Lee Jae-sung.
Yeah, Lee Jae-sung might be going to Europe. We hope so, at least.
Yeah, in January, maybe.
So, but then again, with transfers comes cash. I'm sure the Leonardo deal went to the highest bidder, and I'm sure the highest bidder bid a lot of money.
Yes.
And so we're going to see, I think, later at the transfer window, what Chumbuk can do. Then again, is there really a big Korean name out there? Not really, apart from Kinjinsu. So I'll let you get in.
I wonder, just as a small aside, with the Leonardo thing, was he a free agent? Because usually foreigners only get one-year deals in Korea, don't they?
Oh, was he a free agent?
I think... I don't know if it changed, but I didn't foreigners read always signed one-year deals.
I'm not, you know, to be honest, that's where I'm a little dark on.
I think he might have been, yeah. Because we didn't really hear, Leonardo isn't, a club is in discussion with another club, with Chumbuk about Leonardo. We didn't really hear a number out there in all the tweets or anything. He might have been a free agent, in which case all it does is just clear up wage space for Chumbuk.
He was paid high. It was
top
one of the,
five, right?
Top, one of the top three.
He was on the top.
He was top end for foreigners, yeah. So yeah, he was, I think, the highest paid player in the league.
Mm. Okay. Clears out the wage then.
I mean,
it's too bad that they're losing him, but
you're talking, $1.5 million. I mean John Book will be interesting because Leonardo's gone, Lopez is recovering from his injury and surgery.
Yeah.
Lee Jung-ho was kind of in and out. Hopefully, Lee Jae-sung goes off to Europe and has a good career there. And so,
Lee Jung-guk is retiring, probably.
He should.
Well, he should.
I don't think he is, but he should.
Yeah.
Focus on his reality TV career.
Yeah.
Follow on Jung-hwan's steps in Lee Chun-soo. Jung-guk will have certainly to do a little reconfiguration. Kim Shin-ok will certainly have become the main striker.
Yeah.
How much he's being paid anyway by them.
Yeah.
I guess Kim Bo-kyung will still be there, and Lopez when he comes back. But Jung-guk will have to do a little bit of retooling and reshuffling.
I want to. I think what I'd like to do, if everybody's okay with this, we're looking forward to 2017. What are the things you want to see happen, or any event that you're really looking forward to?
Just K-League or
anything.
Okay.
I'm looking forward most to the U20 World Cup. I think this is where Isumu and Ko can really shine. It's a very talented group of players.
June, is that right?
Yeah, I think it's in May.
And Korea is hosting.
Yes,
Korea is hosting.
Yeah,
I think it's May
to
June.
In May to June, yeah. So Korea's the host. It's a great team. Shin Tae-yong is probably the right man. I really wish Chung Jae-yong would have stayed, but too bad.
Chung Jae-yong, my bad.
Keep thinking.
They have potential to light it up.
Yeah. I don't want to stretch too much out. I don't want to do the same thing as Jin Seok and say the exact same thing. But yeah, the U20 World Cup is definitely going to be exciting. And I really hope to make it entertaining, and maybe a little bit of a Cinderella run into the knockout stage would be good and be great for Isungu's brand, I guess. And perhaps speed in their national team, their senior team possibilities as well. If they do well at this tournament, it'll be high stakes for him and for Shin Tae-yong and hopefully the fans will come out to watch an exciting attacking youth team at this FIFA World Cup, basically the U20 World Cup. Otherwise, Ijeon, Gwangjang-won, I'm really hoping they make moves to Europe, and if so, they are going to be what I'm going to watch attentively in the next year. They're my hope next year as well. I hope that they can, you know, really get consistent minutes and show the quality that we've seen them show off in the K-League at a European level. Also hoping that players like Park Ji-ho, Kim Jin-soo, Ki Sung-young get back to form. A good batch of KPAs means a stronger national team. And that's right. It comes hand in hand. So, yeah, definitely looking forward to that next year with a lot of cautious optimism.
Right. How about you, Jay?
I'll third the U20 World Cup, hopefully. I'm still praying and hoping that maybe the Korean team will come down to Jeju. Jeju's hosting one group, but Korea is not in that group, so. But hopefully we'll get a fun team down here in Jeju. And then beyond that, hopefully just another good K-League season. Promotion for Busan.
Promotion for Daejeon, Osike.
Yeah, yeah. Very good.
Daejeon's is fucking shambles. Sorry, go on.
Super. You know, I second everybody, what everybody has said. I am looking, I'm going to try to look a little closer in at Lee Kang-in for Valencia. There is some occasion, because Valencia is in a bit of trouble in La Liga, that they're going to bring in some players up. So perhaps, you know, some of the, he's 16 now. It's not inconceivable for him to maybe get played up, but we'll see. Lee Sung-woo is moving up to Barcelona B. That's according to Steve Hahn. In the next couple of months. So if that happens, we may see him be able to be eligible for the Korean senior squad. So, yeah. But, you know, one thing at a time, because we've got the U20 ahead, the U20 tournament, as everybody said. And I'd be curious to see if, you know, Hwang Yi-chan or Ryu Sung-woo can even get out from and make an impression.
Where is Ryu Sung-woo?
He's on loan somewhere. And I just
in Bulgaria, was it? Was it Bulgaria?
I thought it was Hungary.
Hungary. Why the hell did he go to Hungary?
I don't know.
Who knows?
It's in Europe.
But
there's some random KPA still out there.
Right, but Hungary, seriously. Okay. Anyways.
Yeah, I don't know. He's fallen off the radar since the Olympics. So I don't know.
Yeah, since playing for Bayer Leverkusen, right? He played three games as well. So
he's still technically on loan for Bayer Leverkusen, but there's always a chance. Maybe he can come back to. He was a Jeju man, wasn't he originally?
Well,
yeah. Never played.
He signed with Jeju, but he never came. He signed and then immediately was loaned out to Leverkusen.
Okay, but they eventually paid Jeju for him outright.
Yes.
So I don't know. It's we'll see. I mean, it's some of these guys have such interesting journeys, and like Sokun Jun, you know, who would have never thought, wow. You know, what kind of a journey he's had from Ajax to Porto and to where and now to Turkey. So it's going to be exciting, and there's going to be a lot of surprises nonetheless for 2017.
Yeah.
I am so psyched to have spent an hour with you guys. Well, hopefully after we edit this will be an hour. guys, I wish all the best. Happy New Year. And to all my elders, I'd say the little bit of Korean that I know. Sehebok mani paduseo.
Sehebok mani paduseo.
All right. From all of us at the Tavern, we wish you a Happy New Year. And all the best for 2017. Chagayo. Or rather, Doboja.